Hi everyone, and welcome to Filmmaking Life podcast.
What is going on, filmmakers? I'm your host, Nick, and welcome back to another new episode of this year. This podcast will be freaking exciting because we have such a young soul on board that not just super talented, yet the youngest I've ever met in the industry. His name is Jacob Ferrufino and he just turned 21. But don't let the youth turn you down because he has a pretty mad background that you will find out in this new episode. What is unique about Jacob besides being so young is that his skills and his soul is so unique that it's worth spreading here on podcast and perhaps learn a new point of view in our industry from a younger generation. What is up, Jacob? Thanks for jumping in this podcast with us. I'm really happy to have you on board.
Yo, what's good, Nick? So stoked to be on this podcast. I'm really excited to dive into some epic topics today and just talk and have fun.
By the way, where are you right now?
I'm actually in Los Angeles right now, just chilling out.
Oh, cool. How's the weather there?
Dude, it's amazing. I think Cali weather is probably some of the most beautiful weather in the world, dude. Just like summer all year round.
I think I'll shortly come to visit you because in Italy it's not that great in this period.
Oh, bro, we got it all. We have the beaches. We have the city. I think you'll really enjoy your time here.
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Listen up, Jacob. I would love to hear your story and whoever is listening.
Yeah, well, I guess my story goes all the way back to 4 years ago when I was back in high school. Honestly, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my career, what direction I wanted to head in life. And funnily enough, like many other creators, I stumbled across a video by Sam Colder. It was his Hawaii 2.0 video.
I knew that.
was just... Yeah, it was just such an epic video. And just after watching that, I kind of binged through his YouTube channel, saw that he was making travel videos all around the world and kind of figured out that it was a career path that I could take. And so I kind of just decided that right there at that moment that I wanted to do videography. And I had no idea how I was going to get to his stage, but I picked up a camera, started shooting. And there's a lot of stuff that happened in between then and to where I am today. But I guess we can talk about more of that in this podcast.
Do you remember when was your like first time picking up the camera and just what was the first shoot you did? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's so funny. I was my first camera was a Canon Rebel T5.
Oh, feel that.
Wasn't even meant for video. It was like a photo camera that just happened to have a video function on it. And honestly, like for most of my first shoots, it was just by myself. I would skateboard to like cool places around me and just do self-portraits on a tripod, or I would just take pictures of nature and whatever I thought was cool. It was a very, very humble beginning.
But at the beginning, did you actually knew what you would like to capture? Like what was the story you want to tell, or you just started from anywhere?
I was just kind of starting, like I didn't know exactly what direction I was heading. I just kind of was trying to figure out how to use a camera, trying to figure out, you know, the basic functions. I was just kind of, you know, wandering through this unknown landscape and like no one was there to help me. So I just kind of had to go out and practice myself.
Yeah, Jacob, I feel that. Like I feel everybody just should start from somewhere, no matter what kind of gear they have. No excuses. Just start doing something. You never know where you're going to end up, right, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that's the number one thing is that, you know, YouTube can only take you so far in your career. And really, you know, where you learn is by putting yourself in uncomfortable scenarios and just really going out there and showing passion, regardless of, you know, whoever's looking at you.
Love that. I should frame that afterwards. But, buddy, so... I want to know from you, like, how filmmaking changed your life and, like, despite being so young.
Oh, man. I mean, it was an absolutely, like, life-changing experience in so many different ways. I mean, filmmaking in itself has just brought me to meet so many incredible people and have so many incredible experiences. But even before I started filmmaking, honestly, I wasn't the most confident individual. Like I said, I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. And I don't know, I was a very much like a shy kid, didn't really speak up that much in class. And when I picked up a camera, it gave me this newfound confidence in myself. And, you know, I kind of felt comfortable coming more out of my comfort zone and bonding with people over this fact that, like, I had something to talk about and I had something that I was passionate about. And it was really like a life-changing experience for me just because, yeah, I felt like I could be myself. And it's so incredible that now, you know, I'm, you know, interacting with some really amazing people, just because a lot of people in this filmmaking industry are very passionate about what they do, and being able to collaborate with them and interact with them and, you know, surround yourself with people who understand the grind and people who understand what it's like to work hard and to, you know, really challenge themselves creatively is just, it's amazing. And I'm so blessed to be in this position.
I love that. I love what you just said, because I feel like the inspiration doesn't just come from you being just passionate, but also meeting other passionate people who can like really wrap you up and say, hey buddy, like go out, shoot, and like just make your day better than
it was yesterday. Absolutely, just like you.
Thanks. But Jacob, in your opinion, like what is the most important like personality or trait someone would need to work in this industry to be like successful, to be, you know, ahead of from anyone else?
So honestly, I think the most important quality any person can have is good communication skills. I feel like in this industry,
I didn't expect it that really? I didn't expect this answer. No, but I like it. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's not just like the filmmaking industry. It's really any industry or just like any time in your personal life. I feel like the majority of problems that come up in people's lives come from a lack of communication, whether that's just not speaking up about your feelings or not communicating when you're being overworked, or when, you know, things aren't going right on a shoot, you need to speak up, and tell people, you know, what's happening, you know, what's the problem? Because if you kind of try and hide things, that's when things kind of build up and turn into something worse. And, that's what I always see in the best, you know, the most successful people in the world, is they're able to not only, you know, communicate on a frequent basis to, you know, their coworkers or their employees, but also communicate in a super clear, precise way so that there's no misunderstanding.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like the communication is like the key, but also I feel like the balance is the key through your like personal life and your career. So it is impossible to be the best of both of them, but just finding the balance is what will make you like happier, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think everyone's kind of trying to figure out their way in life. And, you know, there's so many things that you could be working on as an individual, and there's always room to improve in so many different areas of your life. And, it, you know, balance is definitely a key one. I definitely struggled with that this past year with so many new opportunities coming up my way. I said yes to everything. And, you know, I had a lot of commitments outside of my work life to my family, to my girlfriend. And, you know, I kind of let everything build up. But, you know, starting at the beginning of 2022, I really started reassessing my priorities and how I was spending my time. And I found myself so much happier and so much more successful in what I was doing.
Yeah, 100%. But I feel like with every success, there's also like big failures in our lives. So what did you learn from that? What do you think you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, going back to the whole balance thing, there was a point where honestly everything kind of built up to this climax, and it was a very stressful, overwhelming moment in my life. There were areas in my work life that were suffering, my relationship that was suffering, family life. It was all coming crashing down at the same time. And you know, the beautiful thing about, you know, always being at the bottom is that there's, it can only go up from there. And so, like I said, I reassessed my priorities. I got everything together and, you know, I feel like I'm in a much better place, physically and mentally. I feel like I'm so much healthier in what I'm doing right now. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing more because I can focus on what I need to at the right times, and I can dedicate the amount of time I need to
Wow. I mean, I feel like I'm speaking with like 50 years old guy who's teaching us life lessons, yet you're so young, which like is very inspiring that you went through a lot of things that most of the people most of the time wouldn't even go through, right?
Yeah, I know. I think I was definitely, you know, forced to kind of mature from an early age just because I was, you know, I really put myself out there, and I put myself in so many different scenarios that really helped me, you know, learn all these lessons so early on, just because I tried everything, you know, back in high school, even before I started filmmaking, I tried so many different sports, so many different activities, so many different clubs, to really help kind of like figure out what I want to do in life. And, you know, in those opportunities and those times that I tried different things, I gave it my all, and I learned a lot through failures in those certain activities. And, you know, all these different events that have happened through my life have kind of molded me into the individual I am today.
I feel that. Like, did you ever had like this feeling? I bet you had it, but did you ever have this feeling of, like, I'm stuck? Like, at some point of your career or so, filmmaking, you were like, I'm stuck. Like, where do I go?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, all the way back at the very beginning of my my career, I saw what Sam Coulter was doing, and I told myself that I wanted to do travel videography, and I had no idea how I was going to get there. After high school, I kind of diverged into the social media space, kind of like the TikTok influencer scene. So like a lot of what you see with like the LA TikTokers doing the dances and everything with Charli D'Amelio and Lil Huddy. And it was a very like interesting time in my career because I was actually, you know, doing very well with what I was doing. I was like working with a lot of the biggest influencers in the space. I was being called on to shoots like every single day. And the crazy thing was that like I wasn't like happy with what I was doing. As successful as I was in the industry, it got to a point where I just didn't want to go on any of the photo shoots anymore. I just like, I wasn't having fun, and it made me reminisce. And I was like, why am I still doing this? Because, you know, at the very beginning of my journey, I wanted to do travel videography, and I don't see how what I'm doing right now is going to get me there at all. And, it took me a long time to actually make that realization. I was stuck in the whole TikTok industry for a bit until one day I decided I was just going to be like, screw it. I'm leaving this
thing. Are you still on TikTok?
Oh, no, I'm gone. I'm long gone. But yeah, like, now, as you can see, I'm in a much better position. I'm in the position that I've wanted to be, you know, ever since I started 4 years ago. And, you know, I'm so, so grateful to be in this place now. And it wouldn't have been if I hadn't take that leap of faith from, you know, leaving my success with the TikTok industry and pursuing, you know, what I actually wanted to do.
Yeah. It makes totally sense, because if you don't try many things, even whether you like it or not, you would never find like what is the thing you want to do. This is the perfect example of like, if you want to go somewhere, you just have to try many things so you can understand like what is the way to go around.
No, absolutely. I think a lot of filmmakers should really try everything. I think most people in the industry really stick to one niche, whether that's like concert videography or travel videography or wedding videography. But I really think as a videographer, you should be diverse in your ability to tackle anything that's thrown at you, whether that's real estate, a music video, I feel like you should have the ability to at least try every single type of, you know, sub industry at least once, because you're going to learn what you like the most. And you're also, even if you don't like, you know, real estate videos, it's going to teach you lessons that you wouldn't have learned otherwise. And it's going to give you a much more broad perspective than someone who had done concert videography their entire life. And I think that's an important quality that, you know, people should pursue and look into in their careers.
Definitely. 200%. I like that. So, but how long it took to you to like reach the point where you're at? Where are you right now? Like working with the biggest, most ambitious companies and brands.
And- yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, literally, like it's been almost like a little bit over 4 years now. When I started back in high school, I was very much, it was 4 years, but it was also very like time intensive 4 years. I think like I was dedicating time towards this passion of mine, literally every single day in different ways. I mean, like I said, I started all the way back in high school, and I did everything when I was like in high school. I filmed school projects for my friends. I filmed the school dances, all the school activities, every single school sport. They got their own hype video, whether it was football or if it was like a weird ass sport, like tennis or wrestling or even golf. I even gave golf hype videos. So like, I really tried to like, you know, diversify myself from a very early age. And then, you know, from there, like I said, I moved into the social media scene. And then from there, it was just kind of like figuring out myself, trying to find my own style, continuing to improve myself, watching tutorials after tutorials and applying that to my videos that I was doing out in the freelance industry before I even came across BD. So
there's something that just popped in my mind, like a question, like what do you think about social media for filmmakers right now? Because I feel like there's a lot of hype right now, but there's a lot of also like, if you follow all this things that everybody does, you just fall into this trap. What do you think about that? How do you see that?
I think it's pretty accurate what you're saying, because I don't think a lot of people have honestly like found themselves in this industry, just because it's so easy to compare yourself to the biggest creators in the industry and to kind of follow in suit what they're doing. You don't really, you know, try and pursue your own style because you see, oh, Sam Corder is making great videos, so I'm going to do exactly what he does and I'm going to become successful just like him. But the reality is like you need to take inspiration from all your biggest creators and use that to find your own style, because I mean, to be honest, the social media industry is a very saturated place. There's so many amazing creators out there. It's really hard to distinguish yourselves. And if you're doing the same things as everyone's doing, if you're following all the same Instagram reel trends as everyone's doing, it's going to be really hard to, you know, make yourself distinguished and unique amongst the industry. And so I think a lot more people should really focus on, you know, finding their own style, finding themselves, because not only are you going to be more happy that way doing what, you know, making pieces that really reflect who you are, but also, you know, inspiring people with your own work.
Yeah, which I think going back to what we just said, is like it takes time. But it takes time only if you try everything that you, and then with the experience you do, you just realize what is the best for you, what is the type of niche you want to focus on, and so on and so on. But like speaking of these
absolutely
projects that you like tried all of them, like what is your favorite one? And what is your like the hardest one you did?
Man, the hardest project. Oh, geez. Funnily enough, I think that actually goes all the way back to high school when I was,
really?
I was a senior in high school. It was my last year, and I was in my video production program, and I kind of established myself early on in the year that I was, you know, kind of like the lead person who wanted to take control of projects, to encourage people to, you know, work harder to, and just to like kind of be like the leader of the whole Griffin News team. Which Griffin News was like the name of our video production program. But towards like the end of the year, we had this 15-minute short film called Every 15 Minutes. And it's basically a promotional short film to promote not texting and driving, or not drinking and driving. And, coming from a place where I had been making like 1 to 2 minute hype videos for school sports and school dances, to leading a 15 minute short film. And I hadn't even like been telling stories with like my videos. I was just making visually cool edits. So I had to not only venture into this whole brand new space that I'd never really touched before, but I also had to make a video, you know, 10 times longer than I'm normally used to. And also, you know, lead a team of, you know, 10 people as if I know what I'm doing. And, you know, giving everyone the proper position, delegating all the work properly, because, you know, I'm usually the one who was used to like doing all the work, doing all the editing, but now I have to give responsibility to other people. And, oh my gosh, it was a very challenging shoot.
I'm curious to see that video, how it ended up.
Yeah, on top of all those problems that I even like mentioned, all those challenges, I remember like on the second day of shoot, on the shoot, or one of the days of the shoot, it was like, it just, the weather turned on us and it just rained like crazy. And it just like threw a wrench in like the entire production that I had set up, because I mean, the cameras can't function in the rain. All the sets that we had set up were all drenched. And so, it was just a very challenging shoot. And, at the end of the day, we got the job done. We presented the video to the entire school, and, it wasn't exactly the piece that we wanted to make. But oh my gosh, like, did I learn so many incredible lessons along the way? I mean, in terms of, you know, putting yourself outside of your comfort zone, this was like at the extreme top, I'd say. And it was so rewarding though, because I remember showing that to the entire school and premiering it. And there were quite a few people in the audience who got like emotional and cried. And to know that, like, going into this blindly and not knowing what I was doing. And I didn't even mention before, but we had like, I think maybe like 2 weeks to get the entire thing done from start to finish. It was just one of the most hectic times of my life. But at the same time, like I said, super rewarding, not only for me, but for the entire team. It was like a whole team effort. And to know that I could finally also give responsibility away from myself was really powerful, because I'd been, you know, straining myself every single day because I thought I had to do everything, because I knew the right way to do it. I could do it properly. But, you know, I'd say one of the biggest lessons that I learned through that entire thing was that, no one gets to the top by themselves, and, you only get there by working together. And, you know, like I said, putting responsibility in other people's hands, and, you know, knowing when you have too much work on your plate, because, you know, there are going to be people in your life who are going to help you along the way, who are going to help you share that burden and help you get to the top together.
Dude, you're so freaking inspiring. Oh my gosh. I love what you just said. I love it. Like, putting the responsibility, like being responsible for a project at that young age, and then putting that responsibility in your other hands is just another next step besides all the like challenges, the weather and the time and everything. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. Absolutely.
I felt that. And now, like, fast forward all these years, you made something crazy, which, if you guys, by the way, haven't seen it, it's freaking crazy. He won the Porsche editing contest, which is like, wow. Which I think it was even better, way better than the original one. And I'm like, this dude
thank you, bro,
has a lot of stories to share. And that's how we like get in touch more closely. That's how we actually met in Dubai. But like getting back to the question is like, what was the story behind this winning like Porsche thing?
Well, actually I'm gonna rewind a bit. Just because I know I talked about like leaving the whole TikTok social media industry and not knowing how I was going to get to becoming a travel videographer. And really early on, like it was very challenging. I didn't know, how to start making travel videos without being able to travel. And, you know, quarantine happened. That's when kind of quarantine hit and the COVID-19 pandemic really hit every single industry hard, including the creator industry. Travel was pretty much halted. But one, you know, beautiful thing that came out of it were editing contests. And the first one that I participated in was hosted by Zach Moxley, Down to Film. It was his Down to Film edit contest or Down to Edit contest. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I just decided to participate after he reached out to me and said he would love to see me, you know, work, you know, participate in this contest. And at the end of it, made an absolute banger, and he ended up winning. I ended up winning second place in that contest, and it was very rewarding to know that like I was able to compete at that level. But it was also, you know, it started a fire in me because I didn't want to win second place. I wanted to win first place. And I wanted to strive to be the best. And so over the course of the rest of quarantine, there were a couple more contests, one hosted by Elvitz, the Project Creator 19 contest. There was the Mike Visuals contest. Sam Colder hosted a contest. There was Art Grid.
Did you
Artless.
Did all of them?
I pretty much competed in every single contest I could no compete way. Into.
And that's calling the real hustle.
And I don't even remember now. I think it's like at 6 or 7 wins now. I think I won 6 or 7 contests. And it was very, very powerful for my career because it got my name out there. And, you know, sooner or later, like all these big heads in the industry was like, who's this guy winning all these contests? And honestly, if it wasn't for these contests, I probably wouldn't have been able to fast track to the stage where I am today. I participate in all these contests, and now I guess we can fast forward back now to the Create Two Extremes Porsche contest, where it was actually right after me and the Beautiful Destinations teams had wrapped up the In Dubai promotional video, which you guys can check out on YouTube. But that was probably like one of the most intensive projects I worked on while on my time with the Beautiful Destinations team, and everyone was extremely exhausted. I think we had pulled four or five like all-nighters that week just to get the video done and out there. And after we wrapped up the shoot and wrapped up the edit, Tom Jauncey, our boss, gave us 2 days to just do whatever we wanted. We could go out and shoot. We could just relax and watch movies. But I saw the Porsche contest, and I was like, well, if there's a better time to do this, it's now. And funnily enough, those 2 days were the last 48 hours of the contest. So I had 2 days.
Guys, I don't know if you are listening, but 48 hours. Like 48 hours to make. Okay, go ahead, buddy.
It's funny that you say that, because honestly, like, most of the competitions that I won, I literally like pulled an all nighter the night before the deadline and just grinded out. Something about like a
guys, be responsible. Don't follow.
Yeah, don't follow my footsteps unless you want to just pass away from fatigue. But yeah, I don't know, something about like a deadline and just like a passion to create something fun just like allows me to creatively focus in ways that a lot of people other people can't do. I don't know what makes the scenario so special, but I can literally just grind for like 12 to 18 hours straight. I don't know how I even do it, but that's what we did. That's what I did for the Porsche editing contest. And my friend Javon actually helped me out too. He was kind of like my right hand man on that contest, kind of forcing me to stay awake and, you know, giving me creative input on the visual effects side, which he also helped up on. And together we just grinded 48 hours straight. Maybe we like took like a 6 hour, like two 5 to 6 hour naps just to like regain some energy. But other than that, it was just grind time. And
holy.
We literally wrapped up the video, I think like 10 minutes before it was due, and then just threw it out there into the world and just hoped for the best.
Crazy. Guys, I don't know if you get it, but like I will actually put some links in the podcast so you can actually click and see what we're talking about. But the behind the screen, like the timeline, the amount of sound effects he put it into, and the like the seamless transition he put it into was just mind-blowing for 48 hours. I'm like, what the heck?
Thank
so
you, bro.
I'll put that links below so they can check it out. But so you won the contest in 48 hours, mind-blowing. And then what happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember I was just so incredibly anxious waiting for the results. And when I finally did get, you know, the email saying that I was the grand prize winner, I was with the BD team, and we were like all screaming in the car. It was so, so crazy. We were all so excited and pumped up. But yeah, such an amazing, you know, win. And I think it was one that really kind of, you know, gave me a stamp and a name in the industry. A lot of the contests I'd, you know, participated in before were kind of small wins along the way, but this was like the first, you know, big name brand. I mean, this is Porsche. Yeah. And, you know, the grand prize was getting posted on their Instagram page, which gave me like a lot of exposure and traction to my work, from people not only who were video creators, but you know, car lovers, from all the people who followed Porsche. And then the other side of the grand prize was, you know, getting the opportunity to fly out to Finland for a week to do their Porsche Ice Experience, which is basically like a whole week-long program where you get to basically learn how to drift cars, Porsches in the snow. It's super, super cool.
I mean, that's crazy. But one thing you have learn through this contest, doing the contest, like what is the one thing you can pick up and share with us? I know I'm the guy of the hard questions.
I guess it's kind of like an indirect answer to your question. It's not necessarily something I learned by doing, but something I learned by not doing is just giving the project more time. I think with like a lot of, like I said, like most of my contest edits were like literally done the night before the deadline. And, you know, it's awesome to know that I can create like these epic pieces and these epic videos in such a short time frame. But it also like, you know, shows me that like I have like a lot more potential to give if I gave these projects the actual time it deserved. And you know, I feel like I'm limiting myself by, you know, not not investing the time that I should into these projects. But I think with like anyone, they should properly give time to whatever project that they, you know, that they're passionate about, and they shouldn't rush the project based on, you know, outside pressures, like whether that's like friends saying that you should, you know, release the video now. I think you yourself should know the right time to release a piece, and you know, it's all up to you. I guess that's like one lesson that that came out of the contest.
And if I can add, be a hunter. I mean, be a hunter, like catch the opportunities, like catch them all, whatever they can, I don't know, they can put you in a not effort position.
Mm-hmm. No, I think also, yeah, just, yeah, I honestly made the most out of all these contests. I didn't know what I was doing when I did my first contest, but you know, going through all of them, like I told you, it fast tracked my career, and a lot of people got to know me in the industry because of that. And honestly, I just was doing it because I loved editing and I loved challenging myself creatively to make something amazing and also inspire people while doing it. I mean, of course, like the nice byproduct is, you know, these prizes that I won from these contests. But, you know, the real prize is knowing that I was able to achieve such things in such a short time frame. And also, you know, inspire people as well. Even like, you know, I had people hit me up after these contests ended and saying like they saw my videos and they decided to make a piece anyway, even though there was no prize, the contest was over. And, you know, they said, I inspire them to make something. And, you know, it's these like these little wins along the way of like hearing people say that they appreciate my work, they appreciate my style, and they appreciate what I'm doing. And for me, that's like, that's invaluable compared to, you know, the prizes that I've won in these contests.
That's priceless, like touching people's hearts. That's beautiful. But like, what were the challenges, do you think? What are the challenges, do you think, nowadays, though, that is, in your opinion, is important, like, to highlight, just being, like, realistically?
Would you say, like, challenges, like, just, like, in my career, or?
Either your career or, like, generally.
Okay.
That you see?
Yeah, well, I think I've touched a little bit on this, previously, but just, the fact that this space is so saturated, I think a lot of people put themselves down, and a lot of people compare themselves on social media. And I'm sure many people have heard this on other podcasts or other YouTube videos about like not comparing yourself, but, it's really a hard thing to do. I mean, when you're on social media so often, whether you intentionally do it or not, you're consistently just like training your brain by looking at all these epic videos that people are making and seeing all the likes that they're getting, and you compare it to yourself. And a lot of people get down on that. A lot of people lose inspiration because they're like, oh, I'm never going to get to that stage. I'm never going to be anything. And, you know, I think every now and then, you know, people just need to take a break, take some time for yourself, take time away from social media, take time away from the chaos of your life, which whether that's like an extreme work schedule, or maybe it's like too much crazy, too many commitments to too many other things, and just, you know, learn to prioritize yourself every now and then, because otherwise you're going to burn yourself out. You're never going to grow. And like I said, you just need to take time for yourself, because that's like the only way that you're going to really find what you want to do in life, what you want to be, and, you know, just find yourself, I guess.
I love that. And I'm actually glad that I asked you this question, because we opened all these things we talked at the beginning, which I really like when you said the chaos of social media, because a lot of people doesn't understand, but it's mind consuming being out there and just finding some time to like detox yourself from social media is huge, which I just experienced in this month. So I 100% agree with you. But like looking back to your life, like the whole path you take, the whole career you got, where are you right now? Like, what is the one thing you wish you knew at the beginning when you started?
Oh man, thinking about baby Jacob. So, I mean, honestly, if I had one piece of advice for the audience, it would just be to put yourself out there and just, you know, wear your heart on your sleeve, just because I think so many people hide, well, you know, the person that they want to be, what they want to do, just because of so many societal factors that pressure us to not pursue what we want to do in life or not be the person who we want to be in life. We know when I was back in high school, I, like I said, even before I did videography, I was a very shy person and it was very, you know, it wasn't good because I never spoke up for myself. I never voiced my opinion. I was kind of a person to just kind of be submissive and never really speak up because I was too afraid to. And, you know, after finding, you know, videography, I really became comfortable in my own skin. And what I learned was that, like, after finally kind of, you know, becoming the person that I wanted to be and really speaking out for myself and just going full on in videography, was that people appreciated that and they were encouraging of that and supporting of that. And yeah, I think just to kind of wrap things up, I'd just say put yourself out there. I mean, 4 years ago, if you told me that I would be working for probably one of the most prestigious travel brands in the world at 21 years old, I would think you're crazy. But this road of 4 years has contained a lot of amazing experiences, a lot of success and success that has come through many failures. And more than that, it's just trying so many different things out. It's basically a culmination of everything that I've said in this podcast. Is just, you have to really just put yourself out there. And once you do, you're going to slowly see progress over time and you're going to realize that you're going to be happier in life. You're going to be, more excited to tackle on life. And, I think that's a beautiful thing that a lot of people should pursue.
And you will never work in your life, in your entire life, like they said,
Jacob, absolutely. Buddy,
thank you so much for sharing a lot of inspirational stuff through your stories. I'm personally really inspired, and I hope everybody who's listening will get there and say maybe one day, hey guys, I'm the guy who listened to your podcast and I got inspired, and I'm like, yes, that's the ending goal, and everything.
Let's go. Thank you so much for having me on, bro.
With me, I want to dedicate this podcast to our mutual friend, Josh Newman, who left us, but he just inspired so many people. And I felt like this podcast should be dedicated.
Yeah, Josh was an absolutely incredible individual. Super, super kind. I only met up with the guy once, but I think he was a perfect example of someone who lived life without limits and pursued life to its greatest potential. And at the same time, inspired hundreds or maybe even thousands of people to do the exact same. So I appreciate Josh for giving me that one day to spend with him. And, you know, I'm so appreciative of what he's done on this earth. And I know he's in a better place, but he's definitely an example of someone who we should all strive to be. So rest in peace, Josh. Hopefully we'll see you in the skies soon.
Love you, buddy. And thanks again, Jacob, for being with us today. Really appreciate it. And see you in the next one, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. And to the audience, keep grinding on. And we'll take care.
Stay creative. Okay, guys, if you arrived until here, then you're a legend. Thank you for listening the whole today's podcast. Don't forget to share your thoughts on our DMs for who inspired you the most. And see you soon with another epic episode. Peace.